saying you don't even need the jersey. I'm saying that you could do a camo hat and a, like, doesn't he wear like a bracelet now too? And with a cigarette hank dangling, and you could be smoking Jay Cutler. Just out there on the shooting range instead of playing football.
Yeah, hunting camo is the winter jacket of choice where I'm from. So that hits a little different. But I like where your head is at, maybe for later and for the future.
What do they hunt in Texas?
Deer mostly, white-tailed dove. That's usually after September 30th, I think, or August 30th. I forget when dove season starts. It goes south to north, but mostly deer.
Okay.
Oh, and feral hogs, which are taking over the state. And sometimes you can shoot them from a helicopter.
Dan, have you read the stories about the feral hogs?
They are crazy.
I have, and it's crazy. I saw a tweet from our guy Matt Miller, and it was he said if I ever had another bachelor party, this is what we'd be doing. And it was not just like one day in a helicopter. It was like, instead of a fishing trip, this was, you go and stay in a lodge. And it's, you know, full service lodge, just like it's exactly like a fishing trip, but they have a helipad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either go by helicopter. They do it at night with night vision goggles, or
get to the chopper.
Or you take ATVs and you go out and with fully automatic weapons.
And they're dangerous. Listen, these
feral
are dangerous animals.
They're automatic weapons. Yeah.
Well, yes, but also
no, I know, and they're bad for crops and everything else.
Yes,
but like,
and they're overpopulated and they're hard to kill.
But
yeah.
But the fantasy of like taking like imagine like a belt fed M60, like you're like Rambo is spraying shell casings everywhere. I'm the furthest thing from a gun fetishist. But having the just like and just like
you're thinking like Adam Baldwin Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, M60, like the one with the little bipod on the end. Yeah, where you're it's not supposed to be handheld. It's supposed to be set down where the front's supposed to be set down on that bipod, and just laying waste to feral hogs. That that's got to be a thing. I would never probably do it, but you know,
people ask why people have automatic weapons. I usually think it's because of feral hogs.
Well, that was that tweet, right? The guy said, why are you armed to the gills? He's like, well, 15 or 17 feral hogs could show up at my doorstep or something like that.
I don't know that he's wrong necessarily. I don't put anything past him. There's a video in Germany of one attacking the beach. He's angry beach pig.
Is that the one with the naked guy?
I don't know that he's
the
naked.
Guy, no, the guy, it grabs his laptop.
Somebody runs out of the way. The hog comes out of the ocean.
Oh, I saw that. I thought it was Poland.
Well, somewhere in Europe. But the point is they're everywhere and they are a problem. So yeah, dove, deer, feral hogs, traditionally.
And you can eat them, right? The feral hogs?
I mean, I don't think you want to.
I don't think that you can. I've read a couple of things where it's like you don't want that meat because of how they've bred and all of...
Ew.
Go ahead if you want, but I don't think that that's how you want to roll.
Okay, because wild boar, actual chingale, wild boar is wonderful.
You can eat the feral hogs.
You can.
Yeah, the ones in Texas, 100%. I have friends who go down there and hunt them all the time. The ones that are considered feral, you can buy it for like $3.50 a pound if you want to.
Do they think that it's good? I'm not saying like...
It is
like
good. I've had friends
do
it.
I'm saying, do you want to do it?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, because they're extremely invasive. The meat is super high quality. It's very good slow roasted. It's good braised. It makes a really good stew. It's kind of just like a regular pig, and you're doing a lot of help to those areas down there getting rid of them.
Shane's Meat has entered the chat and provided valuable knowledge.
Pay you to come down to Texas to hunt these things and bring them home.
Now you make it sound good, and it's lunchtime.
It is good. It's legitimately very good. Texas feral hogs are good.
I had pork chops for dinner last night, and I have some leftover. I'm going to go home and eat them.
This is a way better transition than last week, guys.
Is it a good fantasy football name, the Texas feral hogs? Like, is that...
No,
it's actually the name of Texas A&M Kingsville. They are the Javelinas, which is also a name for the feral hogs.
No. A javelina is not a hog.
What?
A javelina is a peccary.
I learned it wrong. What is it? What is a peccary?
A peccary is they're cousins, but they're not pigs. I made this mistake talking about it in Tucson and mentioning it the wild pigs. They're like, no, a javelina is a peccary.
What is it? What is that animal? that you speak of.
I
thought it was a wild pig, too.
I did, too, and they're related to wild pigs, but the javelinas, although they look the same, a peccary, is a medium-sized pig-like hoofed mammal. But they're not pigs.
Learn something new every day.
And I don't know I don't think you can eat the javelinas. It says the javelinas are often confused with feral domestic pigs of the old world, known as razorback hogs in many parts of the U.S.
Silly!
Interesting. Food is good, though, I think. In my opinion, food is good.
And actual wild boar does taste like something. It tastes like pig instead of it tasting bland or injected like one of these, you know, major company pork products.
Omnivore diet. They run around. They're in shape. I see where he's coming from.
Layla, how excited would you be if we could take the show to Texas for a wild feral hunt?
I don't want to kill anything, but I want to fire the gun. Like, don't tell me about the end process. I just want to know about the beginning process, you know?
Well, no, I get you. I'm just saying that for us to take and descend upon your home state.
That would be a good time.
With the objective of, we are here to do some very good radio and to hunt feral hogs.
Heck yes. Bandito style.
You could have the starter 12 gauge. Like, you're not firing at the hogs. You're just firing to let them know that the hunt is on.
I like it. I like it a lot. Shoot some clays. I feel like we could all be effective in this, the hunting lodge in South Texas.
I think so, too.
Be hot. You guys would think it's hot because it's like 50 degrees or something.
No, Team Lodge, you talk about, some dirty, dirty pigs. There it is.
You can't eat any of that.
Team Lodge.
Yeah, that's going back in the day. No, the stories that came out of there, that feels like 100 years ago, but no.
I'm talking about the men.
That's like, right.
You talk about dirty pigs.
Yep.
It was right there for you at Team Lodge. God.
Lawrence, what do you make of Matt Nagy explaining it? Sure, it's not crazy, this idea of him giving up play calling, and they talk about it all the time, but no, not yet, not now.
Dan, you've absolutely read my notes, because it's one of the things that I want to talk about on today's show. Here's where I feel that Matt is being sincere, but I do think that he is ignoring something that's really important. Sure, when you go around to the people that work for you and ask them, hey, do you guys think that there's anything wrong with the way I'm calling plays? If they don't want to get 86th, like the last offensive coordinator who was here, what do you think they're going to say? They're going to be like, no, coach, everything's fine. We'll figure it out. We'll work hard. I think that he is not putting that part of the equation together. I don't think that he has a team of rivals in his coaching staff. I'm not saying that these guys are completely yes men, but I do think that they understand how they're employed and how they can stay employed. And you don't stay employed usually in the NFL with a coach asking you hard questions and you giving them the truth. So I think that he needs to while I agree with him that they look at everything, I don't think that that's a particular place where they can look as closely as they should. If there was an independent arbiter who was able to look at the Bears, one of the things that they would ask about, like if you just went in and did an audit of the Bears, and I'm not suggesting that they do that, and nor could you, but if you did that, they would go, we should probably take a harder look at play calling, like who's calling the plays, and then follow that down the rabbit hole. I don't think that he's a good judge of it because he's in it. And I don't think that the people that he would allow to judge it can judge it fairly because they want to keep their jobs.
And we should mention it does, but there's also reporters right now are bringing some news out of Hallis Hall regarding Nick Foles, regarding the injury to Cody Whitehair. And Lawrence, we'll let you have that. We'll get out of your way so you can get everybody updated on everything that's starting to trickle out of these meetings today.
Dan, Layla, great talking with you. Thank you very much. This hour is being brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
If you've been listening to this show for the last few weeks, I've asked a question that hasn't really gotten an answer. What's wrong with your offense, Matt Nagy? Everyone assumed that the thing that was wrong with the offense was the guy who was playing quarterback, that it was on Trubisky. And look, there's enough evidence to tell you that Mitch is not great. There's enough evidence, and I'm not here to tell you that he should be the quarterback. I'm not here to tell you that they should make a change. What I'm here to tell you is none of this stuff matters if the head coach doesn't have the creativity and the conviction to do things better. There's a lot of talk about, well, we have to get into the details and all of these things that we're hearing from Matt Nagy. Maybe he's trying to figure out the whys. I was talking with one of the reporters this morning that Matt Nagy's always trying to figure out the whys. Maybe the why is in the mirror.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There's a lot going on, and we are going to try to keep you updated. There's breaking news going on in the Big Ten where kind of their worst nightmare is being realized. We're going to talk with our buddy Jeremy Warner about that coming up at 12:40. Cole Wright's going to join me at 1 o'clock. We're going to have Cole on every Wednesday at 1, and we're going to talk NFL and Bears with him because he's hosting a Bears show over on Marquee. He used to host over at NFL Network. And quite honestly, I just like talking with the dude. So we're going to talk with him coming up at 1 o'clock. I didn't really, we had a couple calls yesterday, but I would like to get a couple more. If you do want to talk about the Bears, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text us if you want to the Rosen Hyundai text zone. I'm almost did the old number. 312-644-6767 is the number that you can text there. If you're out there on Twitch, I am wearing my XRT t-shirt, my favorite XRT t-shirt, and you can check it out at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. As Dan and Layla kind of clean up in the studio as I'm able to watch them, which is super creepy. All right, so I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to get back to talking about this show. I also would like to talk about what happened at the World Series last night and how I went from being in love and a romantic baseball fan to just being slapped right in the face with the realities of some of the ineptness of MLB. It was right there for us last night. I also want you to get in on talking about the Bears, and I was listening to Matt Nagy yesterday, and there's news out of House Hall now. It doesn't look like at this point that Cody Whitehair is going to be available for the Bears right as it stands right now. Like, he's on the struggle bus as far as injuries go. Allen Robinson is in the concussion protocol, and maybe that's why we didn't see him get as many opportunities as we would have liked for him to see last week, but now the injuries are added on to some of the issues that the Bears have had as an offense. And it adds another layer of things that we need to talk about when it comes to this team. I want to ask you about that because yesterday, look, we were breaking it down. That's what we do the day after a game is over. But I want to ask you a specific question about the Bears as it relates to Monday night's game. And that question is, how did Monday change the way that you feel about this schedule, this record, and this team? Because I think that even begrudgingly, a lot of Bears fans were like, yeah, they're flawed. I can see the flaws from here, but they are 5-1, and their defenses play good enough where they have put themselves in a position to win some of these close games, and they've done it. Well, now they end up losing and getting blown out in a game. And now I wonder, when you saw it on display, all those things that scared you about this team, how that changed the way it you look at them right now. 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to jump in on that. now that the World Series is over, the White Sox can start looking at hiring a manager, and that whole thing is going to be interesting. They can also, if they're, my belief on this has been that the only reason that you're hearing so much talk about Tony La Russa is that you kind of can't hire anybody, and you have two guys that were still being punished that are probably on your list. Plus, La Russa is tight with Jerry Reinsdorf, so it makes sense that they would want to pick his brain. But now that all of that stuff is over, I would expect there to be more names that emerge. I would honestly be surprised if more names don't emerge in this managerial search for the White Sox. So there's a lot to discuss, a lot that we have to get to. But I wanted to make it a point today to take calls and bring people in. 312-644-6767 out to Rogers Park and Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Wanted to touch on Monday night's game, Lawrence. I'm concerned about the coach, as many of us are. What do you think about, because of the statement that he made yesterday about not considering handing the play calling duties to one of his coordinators, even just to try it out for a couple of weeks? Nobody's saying that he could never call plays again, but just give it to one of the other coordinators and be a different voice in the ear of the quarterback and see what that could bring. And I'm wondering about morale in the locker room, especially with the defense, when they hear their coach saying, hey, I don't think that the play calling duties is something that we need to address right now. You know, I wonder what type of message that they're sending with the rest of the players, because those guys, they hear that and they see that and they have feelings too. When they, you know, the defense is constantly putting you in a position to win the game and things like that, and the offense is kind of going the opposite direction.
Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. A couple things. One, let's not let the defense just skate with their responsibility in Monday night's loss. They were not good on Monday. And their run defense all throughout the year has not been what you would expect. I do think that you've hit on something that quite honestly is interesting to me. Those guys are all supposed to be evaluating what it is they do, how hard they work, what they do right, what they do wrong on game day. Is the coach, is that not a thing that he has to do? Is he absolved of any blame? Has he really dug deep into whether or not it makes more sense? I'm glad you brought it up, because in the next segment, I'm going to actually share that comment that Nagy had to say about his offense, okay? So please stick around for that, because I do want you to hear it. Let's talk with Devon on the South Side. Hey, Devon, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, man. Just want to say I'm a big fan, love the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Real quick, that's just a couple of points I want to make. First off, the Bears are absolutely lucky to only be 5-2. Let's just start there. The next thing is the offense can't put up points at all. Your defense has to score for you, and that's a problem, especially considering the fact that you brought Nick Foles here because he was supposed to be the savior to what Nagy's program is supposed to be, and he can't. He made Trubisky look like, yeah, I'd rather just stuck with him. So those are the two things I really just wanted to say, but again, I love the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping in, and I'm glad you brought Mitch's name up. It's like you guys are on point today. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, you're going to hear what Matt Nagy had to say about play calling and Mitch and whether or not it makes sense to go back to 10. There were some really good questions asked of Matt Nagy yesterday, and you're going to hear it next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
They had an opportunity to define themselves as the top team in the NFC, and instead they came up woefully, I mean woefully short. It's the national stage thing. It was an embarrassment of ineptitude on offense, and the defense kept them in the game.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's Sports Station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute, sponsored by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Old Trapper, what's your beef? And just like that, all we have is football for a while. And I know how much we love football, and I know there are games at least 5 days a week. But with the World Series ending last night, one of the craziest periods in sports ever is now over. For basically 4 months, we had almost nonstop action thanks to basketball, hockey, and soccer bubbles, baseball's 60-game sprint and expanded playoffs, and all the other events that got pushed later in the year. The game started during breakfast or lunch, depending on where you live, and ended after dark. At times, it was almost too much. Now we can kind of exhale. There's still all that football.